You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We're taking a look at the latest developments in the Gazprom Bank deal for the Mossel Bay refinery. For those of you that don't remember, Gazprom Bank was awarded the official contract for that refinery around May of 2023. And since then, we kind of haven't really seen too much movement in that respect. And now it looks as though the entire deal could be up in the air, and we don't really know where we stand on that. As always, where it comes to matters of energy and it comes to these sorts of conversations, we have our resident independent energy analyst Tsepo Radima joining us to take a look at this. Radima, dumela ntate. I want to get straight into kind of where we stand here. We are in the middle of nowhere, and for some this might seem like foreign territory. But for you, in October of 2023, shortly after Gazprom was announced as the preferred bidder for this particular deal, you said, nope, this isn't going to happen, and you've been proven right.
Yes, unfortunately so. I think the deal has always been between the middle of somewhere and nowhere. There's no way Gazprom Bank would ever have been a technical partner. Gazprom Bank controls a lot of gas reserves in Russia, but all they know to do is to produce gas. They don't know anything else to do with gas. Petro SA is the first company on this planet to have commercialized conversion of natural gas into synthetic fuels and petrochemicals. Obviously, as time went by, that position was taken over by Sasol as well as Shell, and they have proceeded to go and build even much more bigger plants. But from a technical expertise, as well as from the patents to the specific way that Petro SA has, it's only Petro SA that has got that technology. So it never made sense from day one why Gazprom Bank was chosen, and any of the other bidders also, by the way, neither had the technical know-how nor the financial capacity. Now, Gazprom Bank, ordinarily, one would expect that they would have had the financial capacity, except that when I stated that the deal was a non-starter, was premised largely on the fact that Russia and Russian companies, such as Gazprom and the others, were all under U.S. sanctions. And there was just absolutely no way they were ever going to, you know, this deal was ever going to see the light of day. But the now still the Minister of Minerals, Minister Gwede Mantashe, then insisted that the deal would have been closed by April 2024. And here we are now, a year later almost. Of course, that which I pronounced has come to pass, unfortunately. But it means, therefore, that going forward, with the advent of President Trump and his pronouncements, particularly on saying Alaska will now be the new El Dorado in terms of energy supply to the world, there is absolutely no way that any other potential partner to Petro SA will be able to raise the necessary capital to get Mossel Bay up and going. I think Mossel Bay Refinery, that story effectively was done and dusted 10 years ago. And when I was appointed chairman of Petro SA 11 years ago, I was keenly aware of the risks and the dangers that were lurking. And that one of those being that refinery was on the verge of closure. And once you closed it, there was just absolutely no way, because there is no indigenous supply of feedstock to get that refinery working. And we knew that, by the way, as early as 2012, that Petro SA ran out of gas reserves. And there's no way that you could ever even, once you shut that refinery down, it becomes the end. And I think in the final analysis, they will just have to sell that equipment for scrap and hopefully still retain the technology and maybe try and apply the technology in other jurisdictions in the world.
That doesn't sound like a very optimistic story, but I want to look at what's currently happening. We'll come back to the potential possibilities here, because I think there is a story around that and what we could potentially do there. But currently, it's costing upwards of 500 million rand a year to maintain. So what is being maintained there?
Well, the plant is in care and maintenance. So they do have people that are employed there, but a large workforce of PetroSA right now is on the payroll but unemployed, because they doing very little. Not that they are producing from the historical feedstock of condensate. They are producing some sludge which they are selling on the market, and that is further refined to produce either, you know, light burner fuel or even HFO by some refiners, small-scale refiners. But that is not a sustainable business model. And secondly, the terminal that they have, they've largely resorted to using it for supply of diesel into Eskom. The Horikwa, you know, the open cycle gas turbine power station. Now, we know, as a matter of fact, that, you know, Eskom was never supposed to be burning as much diesel. So the business model is completely way out of the window. Now, how long can they continue to show up and pay that 500 million? That was only made possible because they had Eskom as a customer to supply diesel to. And once that customer evaporates, they will have to now try and become a trader, but a small trader all the same. So they will not be able to generate sufficient positive cash flows and profits to be able to continue to maintain that plant. And over and above that, they sit with an environmental liability. I know that it was reported that the environmental liability is around 10 billion. From my last count, having, you know, or knowing that company for what it is, the total environmental liability is around 24 billion. So effectively, we are sitting here with a technically and effectively financially insolvent entity, and I can't see how the auditors will be able to confirm that it's a going concern. But the blame lies squarely on the shoulders of the Minister of Energy. He should never have, even for once, thought that it would be possible to have a deal sealed with Gazprom Bank or even any of those bidders on the reasons I've advanced. They did not have either the technical know-how and expertise to do that which PetroSA requires to get that refinery working, nor the financial capacity. And today, the capital markets are going to look towards what is happening in the US. So you can't tap into the capital markets, unfortunately, for us.
I can understand why the blame is being placed on the Minister of the DMRE, or the Minister of Mineral Resources. From your perspective, is that the appointment of the Gazprom Bank was the responsibility of Cabinet and not necessarily that of PetroSA themselves. What of the consequences? Because part of the appointment and part of all these things, there was even supposed to be a feasibility study done to the tune of some $3 million, and that ended up, instead of Gazprom Bank having to pay for that, that ended up being a bill that was footed by South Africa as well to have that feasibility study done. So what of consequences here around a deal that someone got, everything was supposedly going through, and then you don't live up to your end of the deal?
Yeah, I mean, it is puzzling as to why PetroSA required an outside party to pay for the feasibility study, because PetroSA in the period in review, they were generating sufficient profits from their trading of diesel to Eskom at such huge margins that they would have afforded to have come up with that money themselves. But at the same time, they should have looked at themselves directly as a state-owned company, tapping directly into the capital markets without looking at the middlemen. And also, the minister, more than anyone else, should have keenly been aware that Russian companies, and particularly Russian state-owned companies, not a single one of them are experienced foreign direct investors. So when you look at what is reported as alleged pushback when Petrosi staff and management wanted to expedite the process, and being told that actually we have got political backing. That is typical of Russian entities. That's why they don't feature anywhere on this planet in terms of being foreign direct investors, because their culture, their corporate culture, is not suited for a corporate culture of a country such as that of South Africa. But even if you were to say, let's look at internationally, is it Japan? Is it China? Is it Europe? Is it North America? The opportunity to invest in Mossel Bay, that opportunity is long gone. I would say this: the long-term sustainability of Petro SA rests in leveraging of the patented gas-to-liquids technology or Fischer-Tropsch that they have, to then look at becoming a global gas-to-liquids champion, which was effectively what, when I was chairman of the board, that is the vision that I outlined, that Petro SA needed to be a national champion as far as liquid fuels are concerned for South Africa, whereby Petro SA should have now been accounting for at least 30% of the market share in liquid fuels to ensure that South Africa remains energy secure on the liquid fuels front. But at the same time, that they should then have, at that time, the vision I put was that we needed to leverage of that patented technology then to become a global champion in terms of gas to liquids, because many countries have got vast reserves of gas, but they don't have the know-how. And that includes the United States, by the way. So now I'm astonished that there isn't even a conversation between our president and the newly inaugurated president of the United States to say, yes, on your drill, baby, drill mantra, how then we bring about our technical know-how and expertise in conversion of gas into liquid fuels as well as petrochemicals, to then be a solid partner, technology partner, to the United States, taking into account that all the capital now is going to find a home in the U.S. Hydrocarbons as well as the energy markets, as opposed to other jurisdictions and more obscure jurisdictions such as South Africa.
Could this be the definition of a wasted opportunity? Only time will tell. At the moment, it doesn't look very good. But that's all the time we do have for this conversation. Thank you so much, Ragadima, for those insights. Tsepo Ragadima, independent energy analyst, joining us to take a look at the Petro SA Gazprom Bank deal that's seemingly dead in the water.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.